22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talks. So Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some future things that are going on in the vaccine industry, and you'll be amazed what's coming. And we do have some other topics and a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, and I'm lifting this whole nation up in prayer. Hope you are seeking the Lord's face, mine and time. It grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Matthew 12, and Lord Jesus says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Hey, yeah, if you want the King of Peace to stand up and, you know, vouch for you before God the Father, that's what you do. I'll take it. And, you know, mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, MIT researchers have developed, get this ultra-thin needle so they can deliver drugs right into your brain. MIT researchers came up with a system that injects drugs straight into certain specific parts of a patient's brain. This method is to treat specific conditions the patient may be suffering from when oral drug therapy hasn't been as effective in that particular area of the body. It's a miniaturized system of an injection designed to deliver these tiny quantities of medicine to brain regions. And their findings were published in the Journal of Science Translational Medicine. So, yeah, how do you like that, Frank? A little syringe for your noodle. All right, move along in the quack report. We have bovine disease. This is in Florida. Tallahassee is reporting. Florida's Department of Agriculture announced yesterday that they had a case of mad cow disease. This was a mixed breed beef cow, 6 years old, and they discovered it while it was going to the slaughterhouse. So they didn't say where the cow was, but they did emphasize that they caught it before it entered the slaughter channel for the food supply. And as you know, mad cow is a very progressive neurological disease. Can't eat any beef that's sick with that. And of course, the FDA has prohibited any mammal protein in cow feed since 1997, and then all animal feed since 2009. And so they are doing routine surveillance on cattle that are supposed to be ready for slaughter. So they caught that one. And last but not least in the quack report, here's something that's very positive. Here's a study of over 600 men. They said if you consume olive oil, you have a better chance of sidestepping a lot of prostate problems. Researchers said a diet that's rich in the omega-3 fatty acids that you find in things like olive oil helps keep your blood vessels healthy and functioning properly, and lots of good circulation to certain parts of the body that are vital for the boudoir, if you will. And so they say if you get like 9 tablespoons of olive oil, let's say, per week, you're less likely to suffer from things like impotence. It has something to do with, helping the body provide higher levels of testosterone. So strong adherence to maybe, let's say, the Mediterranean diet, which has a lot of fruits and vegetables, legumes, fish, fatty fishes with the omega-3s, of course, your olive oil, can help you sidestep erectile dysfunction by about 40%. Absolutely. And Hippocrates said, food is your medicine. And he was right. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about the vaccine future. I know, the vaccine topic. What can I say? I'll admit it. It's growing old, right? And I think, you know, most people are kind of tired of hearing about the vaccines, no matter what camp you find yourself in, pro or con. And I agree, I've kind of covered this topic to the point of nausea. However, there is something that is also, I believe, is, you know, this is a real threat to well-being, so we're going to have updates on it. You want to turn a blind eye to what's going on in this area. And I would say, you know, we'll look to the future reports as important updates for this particular area. So, yes, it's my opinion, and it's my opinion, I'm allowed to have one, that vaccines are designed to generate disease and lots of long-term patients for the drug companies and the medicine industry. So we're going to jump into this update now regarding a treatment that impacts the health of humans and animals worldwide. Let me read you this quote from Vaccine Today. They are saying the development and widespread adoption of vaccines has been hailed as a public health triumph in the 20th century. Don't agree with that, but that's my opinion. Well, what's undercover going on with the vaccines? Well, we previously did cover that there's really no longer informed consent that is exercised much in scientific medicine, especially with regard to a lot of treatments, including your vaccines. But vaccines are growing in number. They're growing in frequency. And the use is expanding in market coverage. So one experimental area that science is using in vaccines is taking plants that are not normally consumed by humans. They're genetically modifying the plant so that the crop itself produces the vaccine. And then the crop is harvested, it's freeze-dried, it's powdered, and then it's stuffed into capsules. So think of this as a new twist on a nutraceutical, you know, part drug, part plant product. Now, whether consumers are going to know they're being vaccinated in this way is a wait-and-see thing, but this is definitely different from the syringe, the patch, the mist up your nose when you know that you were getting a vaccine. So technology has, you know, made some improvements, we're told. You know, much of the hype on vaccines, especially in Australia, is conditioning people that, you know, technology is helping to improve vaccines. Now, one may ask, well, how can science improve on a virus, a bacteria, or even a parasite vaccine? Good question. Well, science already admits that, you know, the immune system is so complex that they really don't understand it fully, and they're kind of making educated guesses with regard to treatments. So how are vaccines being improved with technology? Well, it's really all about profits, really. The technology is improving production of the vaccine. It's producing vaccines cheaper and faster with the new delivery systems for an even wider array of disease. So childhood diseases really are just the tip of the infectious disease iceberg. So vaccines are in development for treating parasites and a lot of metabolic disorders like heart disease, diabetes, and even cancer. So we're also told that to properly make a supposedly safe vaccine, you've heard this, I know you have, and we're told it can take a decade to produce a safe vaccine with lots and lots of testing. Well, the vaccines that have permission to skip this testing, if such testing is really done, are the influenza vaccines or the pandemic vaccines because, you know, there's no time at all to test those. Mm-mm. Put them right on the market. You're the test. You, the public. Well, let's look at these mRNA vaccines and how they're being used. You are most likely aware, unborn children now are being vaccinated when the mothers get the flu vaccines. So children are vaccinated even before they take their first breath of air. So here is really what's going on. Here's the CDC's childhood vaccine schedule. Kind of shows the minimum of 44 vaccines by the time the kid goes to kindergarten. So before the delivery, before the baby is delivered, you know, the baby could be exposed to the influenza vaccine the mother gets. Then at birth, they automatically, the day they come out, they're getting the hepatitis B vaccine. And then at 2, 4, and 6 months, they're getting the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. They're getting the rotavirus, which is an RNA vaccine, which we had a whole show on what RNA vaccines are, right? If you missed it, you need to go back to the archive. Also, they're getting the HIB, which is B strain of influenza, the PVC, which is really 13 types of pneumonia, and they're getting the IPV, which is your polio. So this is in 2, 4, and 6 months. They're getting all these shots, okay? And then at 6 months, they're getting the influenza vaccine, the MMR vaccine, which is your measles, mumps, rubella. They're also getting the chickenpox vaccine and the hepatitis A vaccine. And then at 12 months, they're getting the B strain influenza vaccine. They're getting the 13 types of pneumonia vaccine. They're getting the polio, and they're getting the MMR, the chickenpox, and the H and the hepatitis A. Then at 15 months of age, you just repeat the same shots they just got at 12 months. And then at 18 months, they get their DPT, your diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. They're getting their IPV, their polio, and they're getting their influenza and hepatitis A. At 19 months, they get more influenza vaccines and another hepatitis A. Lots of hepatitis A. A lot of liver vaccines here. And then at 2 and 3 years, they'll get another influenza shot. And then at 4 and 6 years, they get another round of DPT, and they get another round of polio, as well as MMR and chickenpox. Man. I mean, you know, these kids are a pincushion, basically. But and as, you know, we are programmed, really, to understand, you know, that vaccines prevent disease. And therefore, in the future, we may expect the vaccine mandate to also require the prevention of the heart disease vaccines and the diabetes and the cancer vaccines. So those could be added into the schedule. And there is really no research on the effects of all these numerous vaccines given in combinations. And we also believe it's, you know, maybe deliberate that none of this research is conducted to avoid any revelations that the vaccines may cause harm, especially with you get consecutive, you know, and repetitive and a buildup of the toxins. Well, you know, then they've got this needle-free delivery. Let's touch on that, because one of the aims of the drug company is to avoid the unpleasant needle delivery of their vaccines. So therefore, the vaccine patch and the nasal spray were designed and rolled out. And now the new nutraceutical form will be hitting the shelves soon. And here's a quote from the Australian Academy of Science. They say this: needle-free administration is underway for some vaccines. Some vaccines are currently injected. However, new plant-based edible vaccines will soon be on the market. They make it sound like edible marijuana, don't they? In there? It kind of hit me like that. Well, I'm going to say that for children, maybe the edible vaccines are going to look like gummy vitamins. What do you think? You think, you know, a little shape and color make them look, you know, edible. And if you're on our newsletter list, and if you haven't signed up, the newsletter is free, and you just go to thepowerherbs.com and, you click on books and newsletters and you sign up for free, because in the newsletter, there's this pie chart that on the vaccines and what it's on the CDC website as well. And it kind of gives you a pie chart of the vaccines they have for parasites, viruses, bacteria, and also the new vaccines you don't know about yet. Okay, so they're kind of in development. They just have them labeled new vaccines, so they really don't elaborate. But so if you're getting the newsletter, you're going to get this chart inside the newsletter, and if you notice, the vaccines have really not been. Some of them haven't been introduced yet, the new ones, and maybe you can expect, you know, vaccines for things like TB and Alzheimer's. So you're going to see vaccines for, you know, dementia soon, and other diseases that once only infected animals. You're going to see those, and we may safely assume that, you know, the influenza vaccine could be this catch-all shot for these new diseases, since it's becoming the most widely administered vaccine. And also, science is wanting to implement a smallpox vaccine. I think I've mentioned that a couple times before. It's kind of unfathomable that they would dig up smallpox and then make a vaccine with it. They ain't not going to jack me with that. Mm-mm. No, no. You're putting smallpox right directly in the bloodstream? I'm sorry. So what we are really witnessing, folks, is science is designing and administering a wide range of chronic and complex diseases to the masses. This is what you have. Well, let me back up a little bit and just talk briefly about the cancer vaccines, because, you know, the papillomavirus vaccine, the HPV, really that is one of the cancer vaccines. It's kind of the beginning of the cancer vaccines for different types of cancer. And the new cancer vaccines coming soon are going to be varied, and these are all going to be under a category science has labeled as therapeutic vaccines. Okay, so they are being marketed as a product that helps the body's own defense mechanisms destroy cancer. Yeah. That's how they're going to roll out the ad campaign. And there was a report in the Columbia Journalism Review about the cancer vaccines, which do not – they don't prevent cancer, they said, but are given to existing cancer patients for their existing cancer condition. So apparently, you know, we get this one review that says they're not a prevention type of product, but then we get it from other sides of science that says it is a prevention product. So we'll get to that in a minute. But so these vaccines are really in their final clinical trials. The FDA is actually poring over a lot of the preliminary data that is sent to them by the drug companies. And some of these vaccines are for cancer conditions that have spread in the body, such as your metastatic prostate cancer. And, of course, we've got one of those cancer drugs on the market now. We'll mention that soon. Also, they got on the workbench, they got the pancreatic cancer vaccine as well as the colorectal cancer vaccine, brain cancer vaccine, and lung cancer vaccine. So vaccines for everything. However, you will also read that, you know, the scientific community could also use these vaccines really as a prevention tool. So here's a quote from Mark Roth of the Post Guardian, April 2010. He said in his report, "We may be on the verge of being able to vaccinate people against cancer in the same way we do with infectious diseases." End of quote. But here is Andre Salazar. He's the CEO of Onicovor. That's a vaccine manufacturer. And he says, "I think we really are on the cusp of a revolution in cancer immunology. We hope to make patients allergic to cancer with our cancer immune system booster vaccines." End of quote. Allergic to cancer. That's kind of something that can come by around and bite you, I think, on a, you know, cellular level. Here is a quote from Dr. Oliver Finn, University of Pittsburgh. She's a vaccine researcher. And Olivia Vera says, "If we immunize early on, the cells that become abnormal might actually be eliminated by the strong immune system response. And I believe the vaccines will work best in those who do not have cancer yet." End of quote. So there, that's planting the seed. Let's use this as a prevention. And notice these vaccines intend to provoke a very strong immune system response, sort of like some of the vaccines have created autoimmune diseases. See? So lastly, is the Dr. Hideo Okada. He's a neurosurgeon. And he says this, "Our goal is to re-educate the immune system so that it recognizes the cancer antigens," end of quote. Re-educate the immune system. Mm-hmm. So what you did say there, Doc, is God don't know what he doing. That's what he just said there. So all the drug companies really are on this cancer vaccine bandwagon, and Merck we'll have a cancer vaccine called a Stimuvix. And what is the goal of the vaccine manufacturer? Frank, do you know what the goal of any vaccine manufacturer is? He's typing. Yes, yes. Profit. Absolutely. It's to sell as much product as possible because it, you know, supposedly took millions of dollars to create this vaccine. So notice that science expects you at some point in your life to get cancer. So that's why everybody's making cancer vaccines. So what are the chances that cancer vaccines will be pushed as a prevention treatment and those who do not get vaccinated may find they don't have government-run health insurance? So if you're going to say, "No, I don't want that treatment," well, then you're not doing your due diligence to stay healthy and keep medical costs down. So especially in these, you know, universally run healthcare governments, you know, it's going to come down to something like that. So because it's all about, you know, documentation and supposedly saving money in healthcare. Well, and, you know, according to the National Cancer Institute, there are currently 69 cancer vaccine trials being conducted now. And these are typically small clinical trials, sometimes with 12 or fewer patients. And these cancer vaccines are what we call RNA vaccines and are particularly in their infancy, these types of vaccines that they're making. It's, you know, they're kind of feeling their way along here. They don't know a whole lot yet about RNA vaccines. And often these RNA vaccines will create a lot of inflammation in the body, and they do that on purpose in order to engage the immune system response. So in one of the studies for the lung cancer, the trial reported that there was a 17-month survival rate, but some of the side effects were encephalitis and pneumonia. And so the scientists clarify that the cancer vaccines really don't prevent cancer, but can offer protection from the viruses that cause the cancer. Aha! A little clarity there. I'm sure you're not confused at all. if we think about it, the first cancer vaccine, let's think really hard here. Hey, Frank, you want to guess what the first cancer vaccine really was? It's been on the market a while. People just don't think of it as an anti-cancer vaccine. He don't know. Well, if we think about it, hepatitis B vaccine is to prevent liver cancer. And it came out on the market in 1981. So the American Cancer Society gives us a 2008 liver cancer statistic thus far of 42,220 new cases of liver cancer, of which 30,200 are going to die. So in 1970, there was only 9,900 liver cancer cases. And the CDC's fact sheet on liver cancer shows the condition has increased 72% between 2003 and 2012. Okay, so here's hepatitis B since 1981. Prior to that, we had less than 10,000 liver cases. And after that, we have 72% more cases of liver cancer. Now, HPV Gardasil is also another supposedly cancer vaccine for cervical cancer, of which, you know, has kind of been reported to offer some really nasty and sometimes deadly side effects. And from the statistical information, this hepatitis B vaccine does not really seem to prevent liver cancer, and in many cases may actually promote it by 43% risk increase. So one cancer vaccine for prostate cancer, I mentioned this is the new one on the market, just came out, Provenge, and it only showed a 4-month survival rate compared to the group that got the placebo. However, science kind of looks at this stuff very differently. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Gregory Poland at the Mayo Clinic. He says, "We now enter the second golden age of vaccinology in the enhancement and understanding of common diseases, vaccine development against chronic non-infectious diseases, and in a better integration of advances in biology, genomics, immunology, molecule biology, and virology." End of quote. I bet you his head doesn't fit through the 4-0 door. I'm thinking it don't. Well, we're going to take a little break. I got a little bit more on this on the other side. And then we got tons of other stuff to talk about, but it won't be about vaccines. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You you can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Okay. And we're back here on Herb Talk. We're going to just finish up our little segment here on the future of vaccines because, you know, anything can really happen in the future with regards to the changes in the vaccine area. But you got the political and the financial influence over this medical drug culture. It's so ingrained that reversing a lot of current law on it would be extremely difficult. So, you know, drug manufacturers spend about what car manufacturers do on network advertising. So in 2017, Procter & Gamble spent a lot of money promoting, and they do sponsor vaccine programs. They manufacture drugs and as well as those baby diapers. So this is why networks tend to shy away from news that would conflict with their biggest ad clients. Therefore, you're not going to hear about the North Carolina vaccine attorney, Alan Phillips, who's being attacked by the attorney general because North Carolina is a vaccine hub for science. And you can't have an attorney helping people to figure out the legal way to avoid vaccines. So here's a quote from Dr. Rishesh Parhu. He's an infectious disease chief of patient quality and safety at Accentra Health. He says this: you cannot get a high immunization rate without some kind of mandatory flu vaccination program, end of quote. So more occupations are now requiring influenza vaccines each year, and some travel destinations also require some vaccines. So as more employers tend to implement all their wellness programs for federal rebates on their healthcare expenses, the more the vaccines are going to be in force for compliance. So, you know, get ready. So I always like to have some options myself if I'm trying to avoid things like vaccines. It may be near to impossible for some people in various occupations or for various reasons. You know, people may have adopted children and so forth. So you may want to know about a way to minimize the damage from vaccines. There's a few products at Apothecary Herbs. You might want to look at the skin poultice that helps draw out what is injected, and the blood cleanse catches what may slip by into the blood system. So always consider also organ cleansing as well to help purge those pharmaceutical toxic residues and the heavy metals and maybe the other pathogens along with it. So call Apothecary Herbs. And they have the organic herb organ cleanses, and they do have the blood cleanse and the skin poultice option. Now, fall's going to be here soon, and so you may be required to get a vaccine, and you'll really, really want a backup plan. So call Apothecary Herbs, and you can place an order or request their free catalog at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, and that's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Of course, their website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. And take advantage of their Labor Day sale that's going on now through the 4th. So orders of $45 or more will receive 20% off. So do check that out as soon as you can. If you are mailing in orders, because a lot of you do, that's perfectly fine. Just get it postmarked by the 4th so you can get that discount. All righty, so we're going to talk about some mold. And it's I consider it man-made mold, but we're going to talk about it because we've all heard about, you know, people who suffer from a lot of allergies, and mold's one of them. A lot of people report having some severe mold inside their homes that causes a lot of illness and forces them to sell or remodel or even abandon the home. And with all these flood victims, you know, you got to know they're going to have mold. So for this segment, we're going to be talking about what kind of mold can be contaminating your home or even your office. And I'm talking about I'm not talking about the mold that you get on your body, like athlete's foot or anything. I'm talking about a mold that over 2 million Americans have acquired inside their bodies even. And it is suspected that it could be caused by maybe antibiotic treatments. So penicillin had been touted that wonder drug in the 40s and 50s. And farmers were amazed at how fast it tended to kill bacterial infections in animals, and it also added a plus for the drug companies and sales, and the animals grew fatter and heavier quicker. So they, you know, pumped all these drugs into them. So what farmer would use a drug on pigs, cows, and chickens and make more money at the slaughter market? Who wouldn't want that, right? So they all jumped on that opportunity. So now what we have is fungus and mold, and we have it inside our bodies and also inside our homes. So at what price did these wonder drugs give us? And so I think if we look at some of these grim realities, we can see a light go on. So we're going to look at this antibiotic harvest, because the pharmaceutical companies create a lot of antibiotics, and they tend to have created them originally from organic matter, from living organisms, and mold or fungi are usually the organisms used to make antibiotics. So the drug companies actually screen thousands of species and then test the ones that they think are going to have the reaction to bacteria inside the body. So what is more important to the big drug companies is that the organic material that they're going to use has to be unique so they can get it patented. So once that's established, they're going to test it on animals and then humans. See, the organic matter that they get, the mold, the fungi they get, they ferment it in a process. And this process was actually inspired by an old Chinese process dating back 2,500 years ago. So there was this moldy bowl of soybean curd, and it was used to treat certain conditions in China. And soy isn't the only raw ingredient used to grow mold on. Drug companies can actually use molasses or other sources which are considered a nitrogen compound with a carbon source. And these are needed for the proper growth of the organisms. So to prevent foaming during the fermentation process, they tend to add other agents like silicone or sterile alcohol. And with the fermentation process, the drug companies are able to make a lot of it. They can make like 10,000 different antibiotic substances in very large quantities, moldy fermented bacteria in less time. So for certain types of antibiotics, they may even add a solvent to purify the product into make it into a powdered form. So isn't this lovely? I apologize if many of you guys are eating out there because well, I mean, a lady was shocked to learn the other day that the vitamin B supplements by supplement manufacturers are made from fermented bacteria. She didn't know that. Well, you got to get your B vitamins and whole food components and not in isolated ones like that. All right, we're going to talk about mold because it likes to colonize. So the natural process of mold or fungi is to colonize and then grow. Their metabolic process is to consume as they take over. So when this happens, myotoxins are produced, and the myotoxins can cause adverse health effects, especially in humans. And these effects would include things like a lot of inflammation, allergy responses, and also infections. So typically, mold enters your body through maybe the skin, or you breathe it in through the pulmonary. And so what happens when these spores enter your body through, let's say, a drug like an antibiotic? Well, they are still as toxic as if you had breathed them in, but now they're in a mass amount. So typically the mold spores that are breathed in are more dangerous than those that tend to be ingested or absorbed through the skin because they can enter the bloodstream not as fast. The pulmonary is the fastest way to get a disease into your system. So once they're inside your body, they can attack different systems depending on their organic nature. So for a majority of the cases, the mold creates sensitivity issues like allergies. So when the mold spores are concentrated enough, the immune system will attack the mold spores and they will attack the mold antigens, and a lot of, you know, immune system antibodies are going to be in the mix, and this creates this allergic reaction. So ingested mold can also irritate your digestive tract and produce a lot of things like diarrhea, dehydration, nausea, stomach cramps. Fungi spores like to invade and go deeper into tissues, such as into your lungs, your blood, your bones, and all your other organs, can even cause things like meningitis on your spinal cord and brain. Now, some forms of fungi can change forms depending on the environment they're in. For example, they can become yeast. And out of the 50,000 different types of fungi, there are 200 that are identified to cause disease in humans. And most mold and fungi exposes are thought to be, you know, coming from the environment. But what if they are also being introduced through the antibiotics? So this might explain the common yeast infections people are getting after taking a course of antibiotics, and even the dreaded lupus disease. So if people become infected with mold or fungi from, let's say, the environment, they get sick, and it usually indicates that their immune system function is kind of on the low side. But what about the thousands of patients already sick who are, you know, put on antibiotics, and they are even at a greater risk? So when these spores have the right environment in order to colonize, the immune system is compromised, and it seems to produce really what is called a perfect storm. Those who are in an increased risk of fungi infections are going to be people like organ transplant patients, people with HIV/AIDS, people that have cancer, patients that are being treated with chemotherapy, anyone taking immune suppressant drugs, and those with diabetes and pulmonary diseases. So when a fungi affects these high-risk people, it will simulate an acute inflammation response and a definite allergic reaction. So antibiotics have created this shift in the balance of the microorganisms. So an example is a disease in some of the healthy bacteria flora in the body, especially the digestive tract. So you get those broad-spectrum antibiotics going. They're pretty notorious for promoting a fungal infection. However, doctors refer to this as an imbalance. So no doctor really wants to admit that the antibiotic they prescribed has really infected you. So the most common infection is the yeast infection. And most people don't worry too much about a yeast infection, but it can become systemic, especially if the immune system is not functioning well. And it has really become such a problem that septicemia is the fourth leading cause of hospital treatment in the United States. And as the antibiotics have become stronger in an attempt to overcome the bacterial resistant infections, they have disrupted the normal balance and often prevent the immune system from properly identifying harmless chemicals from deadly pathogens. Now, according to Gary Humfangel of the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, he says the friendly gut floras the antibiotics destroy are really part of your immune system defense. He says that the gut flora is the arming agent of our immune system. So the old adage that all disease begins in the bowel seems to be pretty accurate. So according to some new research, antibiotics are creating more allergic responses in humans and at a more acute level. So there seems to be this correlation in research between the number of potencies of antibiotics used and 160% increase in global cases of asthma over the last 20 years. Now, a German study showed the allergic conditions and asthma were higher after the wall came down in the West, where antibiotic treatments were widely used. And studies using mice proved that antibiotics create a yeast condition, and the body's ability to deal with the mold spores is corrupted. So the experiment looking at lung samples actually showed that the antibiotics created a condition in the mice in which the mold shredded their lung tissue. And researchers such as Humfangel are convinced that the friendly gut flora is essentially there to help our immune system identify real threats and ignore the harmless bacteria it shouldn't be worried about. So this would explain why there's so much autoimmune disease as well. And this research was actually presented to the American Society of Microbiology in 2004, but nothing significant has changed with regards to using antibiotics, with the exception of doctors recommending taking probiotics when finishing your course of drugs. Well, there are some symptoms to be worried about. Having a mold or spore problem inside the body can produce moderate flu-like symptoms and rashes, so look for that. So these fungi infections can become a long-standing chronic infection wearing down your immune system, and it can become very acute. So these types of infections can produce slowly over time, and patients really don't connect the dots that it might be from an antibiotic treatment they were prescribed for, let's say, a sinus infection. So as the mold fungi infection spreads, it can produce the symptoms of night sweats, chest pain, weight loss, swollen lymph nodes. So if the mold fungi is of a different variety, it can actually infect the body more rapidly and create things like pneumonia and give you a blood infection or septicemia. So acute infections can create irreversible damage to your bones and other organs, and it can even be fatal. Anyone who is hospitalized for these conditions are given usually massive IV doses of more than just one antibiotic. They get multiple antibiotics. So it costs the pharmaceutical company an average of $1 billion to produce and bring to market an antibiotic. So to help recoup the cost, the pharmaceutical companies will sell more antibiotics to animal husbandry areas and through a licensed pharmacist. So in 2011, about 30 million pounds of antibiotics were sold and used by the animal industrial farms. And this is, you know, the food source that America is being saturated with, four times the amount of antibiotics that are sold to treat even patients. So you're getting more antibiotics through the dead animals than you would directly from being treated by your doctor. Now, recently, Consumer Reports did publish some findings on resistant harmful bacteria found in your chickens. They tested 316 chicken breasts being sold in stores. 97% tested positive for multi-drug resistant bacteria. And Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin in 1928. Here's a quote. "Bacteria are like this river flooding over man. Fleming figured out how to build a dam to control those waters, but soon they came up over the wall, so we built it up higher and higher until we ran out of bricks." End of quote. That was Lance Price, PhD, microbiologist, George Washington University. So antibiotics really is a food animal production, he says it's become the jackhammer knocking away at that wall. Here is a quote also from Thomas Frieden, CDC director. He says antibiotic resistance has gotten so bad here in the United States that the issue is one of the top priorities in medicine. Steve Solomon, director of the CDC's Office of Antimicrobial Resistance, says the more we use antibiotics, the less likely we are to have effective antibiotics tomorrow. End of quote. Well, yeah, we're saturated with antibiotics. Now, the Netherlands is doing something important. They're kind of cutting back on their antibiotic. They're going to more organic and on their farms. And they're using other measures in case, you know, the animals get sick. And the results are kind of on the positive side. They have lowered the animal infections by 20%. And also the antibiotic resistance dropped almost 6%. So they saw an improvement in the Dutch population, the human population. This is what they said. If we followed a similar path here in the United States, we could see significant reductions in dangerous bacteria in people and in animals. This was Laura Rogers, director of Pew Charitable Trusts. So the FDA still allows farms to use a bunch of antibiotics to prevent illness. Even though they're not sick, they pump them through of antibiotics. And as consumers demand the non-hormone, no-antibiotic-treated animals for their food, you know, more grocery store chains are being forced to stock that type of food, grass-fed and that kind of thing. And so hopefully, eventually, they'll get the picture. You know, people are voting with their wallets. So the problem really isn't just, though, the farmers and the doctors giving patients antibiotics. It's also being used in the GMO crops. And all this runoff and this improper dispensing also allows antibiotic residues to make their way into the water supply and in every glass of milk from a cow. So What Director Solomon and Friedman aren't acknowledging is that animals and humans are so saturated with antibiotics from many different avenues that the drugs are identifiable in human urine without being on a prescription. So you're eating it and getting it from other sources. Therefore, I think the mold fungi that people are ingesting through antibiotics really has become this double-edged sword, and it can seed the body with a bunch of toxicity and corrupt the immune system along the way. So it's going to be real important for people to, you know, drink filtered water, eat organic, clean diets, and you do your organ cleansing and immune boosting on a fairly regular basis to stay well. So I've resolved myself really to avoid the drug therapy as much as I can, you know, outside of, you know, trauma care, and I'm unconscious and oh well. And so you cleanse those filtering organs, and you can cleanse as often as every 3 months. Some people get it in twice a year. That's usually what most people do. And you'll be amazed at how the body rewards you. You know, once you're moving in the right direction, it responds. Your body lets you know. And some people, you know, drop unwanted weight. Their energy picks up. They get some bodily functions they thought they lost back, you know, like sexual functions and so forth. So people say their eyes, they can see better. Their brain, they can think better. So once you, you know, get that toxic burden out of the system, the body does respond in a very positive and long-lasting way. So, you know, and especially those flu shots, you know, you just don't want to get flu shots year after year. I mean, there's been scientific evidence that has said that, you know, repeated flu shots weaken an immune system, really wipe it out. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They are the experts in organ cleansing and immune boosting. They do have formulas to strengthen metabolic function, so you might want to check them out. Thepowerherbs.com. Or if you want to give them a call, get a free catalog. You can order by phone, internet, or mail. The toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com is the web address, thepowerherbs.com. Like I said, if you got time, sign up for the newsletters. They're totally free. There's no subscription fee at all. And this will be healthy information that you're not going to hear on your network news. And it's going to help you and your friends and your family stay well. So you can share that. Feel free to share those articles as much as you'd like. So thepowerherbs.com, the American Survival Newsletter, does go out on Tuesdays. So you can sign up for that. And also the HealthQuest Newsletter, that goes out on Friday. So if you want to get your first HealthQuest newsletter tomorrow, you need to sign up, and it's free. Thepowerherbs.com, click on books and newsletters and get signed up today. Also, don't forget, they do have their Labor Day sale going on through the 4th of September. So you can save 20% on your herbal orders of $45 or more. Excellent time to get ready for the fall allergy and even flu season coming up. Remember, your flu season starts in October, and it runs through typically February, because this is where we eat more sugar. Yeah, and that lowers your immune system response. So thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. And if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, professional strength. So you're not going to get that in stores. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.